again. I am so excited to share this with y'all today. I've been working on the series of deliverers, and that's been wonderful. But the Lord showed me something a couple of weeks ago. I guess it's been about a month. I don't remember exactly when now, but I was like, I got to share this. This is so awesome. I can't wait. I can't wait however many months it is for me to finish what I'm doing. I got to do this now.
Right.
So praise God. I'm looking forward to this. I was kind of laughing at the way that the slides came out, because they say sermon without defect. I'm like, well, they probably, somebody else will probably have to be the judge of that. It's the title that's without defect, not necessarily the sermon. Praise God. I'm going to speak today from the perspective of disability. But I strongly suspect that what I'm saying is going to resonate with more than just disability. Because we all have these areas in our lives that are less than perfect. And have you ever felt excluded from a group, from an activity, from just from friendship, from whatever it is, excluded because something's wrong with you? Maybe it's a physical disability, maybe you're too short, maybe you're not good enough at sports, whatever the reason is, we all have those times when we feel excluded. We're not good enough. And if you're facing a disability in the church, sometimes there's an added layer depending on where you go. I grew up, and I'm very thankful, you know, I always give a shout out to my parents for not treating me different, not treating me special. But even at that, I knew there was something that was supposed to be fixed. And, you know, they didn't make me feel bad about it or anything, but it was just always there. This is wrong and it needs to be fixed. And in the circles that we ran in, there was always this nagging suspicion that it's something else that's wrong with me. If I had enough faith, I could get this fixed. God, if I could do my part, God would do His and everything would be cool.
Yeah.
See, had all this going on, and it just doesn't seem fair sometimes. And we ask, why? Why, God? I love the way Linda says, why not me? But would you just show me? Would you just show me, Lord, why this is so, how this is supposed to be to your glory? And I'll accept it. Well, he probably knew me better than that. But I would get angry. I spent a lot of my 20s just angry. And not so much in a way that anybody around me would necessarily know it. I kept it to myself. But I was angry. Because somehow I'd been wronged. Rather foolish perspective, but there I was. And sometimes, have you ever read scripture in the Bible that you're just like, what? God, did you really say that? I remember there's one in particular that I'm going to talk a little bit about today, because it just seems to rub salt in the wounds if you're disabled. It seems almost as if God is saying, no, you're not good enough. Let's go ahead and look at it, and then we're going to talk about it, and then we're going to talk about another scripture. I'm going to do something today I don't normally like to do. Don't normally like to take one scripture out of its context and go on and on about it. But I'm going to do two of them today, and I'm going to give you a little bit of context so that they're not so far out of context as they appear. But let's start with the first one. This first one is from Leviticus chapter 21. These are laws for the priests. And it says that any man of Aaron's, okay, I'm supposed to try that again. Any man from Aaron's priest offering in whom there is a physical defect shall not come near to present offerings made by fire to Yahweh. a physical defect is in him, he shall not come near to present his God's food. Ouch! What are you saying, Lord? Well, now let me give you some background. Because, yeah, when you take that out of context, it's like, oh, man, how am I supposed to feel now? But the first thing we need to understand is that this was only in the matter of sacrifices. They were permitted to be in the temple. They were permitted to partake of the offerings, the holy offerings that were made. Presumably, they could do anything else in the temple, but they couldn't offer sacrifices. And understand why they couldn't offer sacrifices, we need to step back and look at what God was trying to do in the Old Testament, what he was trying to show us. And one of the first thing that he's trying to show us, and something that I think we tend to forget, is that he is holy. He is so holy and so other that we can't possibly understand. And when the holy comes in contact with the old, with the unholy, it by nature destroys the unholy. God said, nobody can see my face and live. Because sin, anything that's imperfect, can't stand in his presence. Even in the holy place, Holy of Holies, where his presence would come down, you couldn't be in there unless everything was done just so. Talk a little bit about that more in a minute. Even the special objects that were part of the temple service had to be treated with special care. They had poles. They had to cover them up, and they had to put poles through and carry them so that they wouldn't touch them. Because if they touched them in the wrong way, not under the right circumstances, they would die. You can find that in Numbers chapter 4, where God gives the instructions of how they're supposed to, how they're supposed to transport this stuff. You'll find in the story, you might remember when David, King David, wanted to transport the Ark of the Covenant, which was the Ark that had the stone tablets in it with the law, and it had the mercy seat, and it was kept in the holiest holies where the sacrifices would be offered. And David was transporting that because he was going to have it there in Jerusalem there. But they didn't do it the way God said to do it. They put it on a cart. And apparently they hadn't touched it up to that point. But they put it on a cart and they were having it pulled by an ox. And it got jostled. And one of the guys who was walking there with the ark put his hand out just to steady it, you know, so it wouldn't fall over. And he died. Mm-hmm. We think, wow, man, that's harsh. But God, there is a holiness here that is so beyond us that we can't understand. And God needs for us to see that and understand that so that we have a comprehension of what it is that he's going to be doing for us. Even there was even time, the Sabbath. We've all been taught about the Sabbath. In fact, we've read in the New Testament how it kind of got out of hand. But when you see how it was treated by God and how important it was, if you read Exodus 31, you read Exodus 35, you could have the death penalty for not observing the Sabbath properly. It was supposed to be a special holy day. And we sometimes forget, you know, thank God that Jesus made a way. I don't want to, in fact, this whole message is about how Jesus made that way. But I think sometimes we forget that God, though he has offered grace and mercy through the person of Jesus Christ, he has not changed. Amen. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He is still holy. Amen. And we need to treat him as holy.
Amen.
He said in Leviticus 19, he said to speak to all the congregation of Israel and say to them, you must be holy because Yahweh, your God, am holy. The priest had to be as perfect as possible. As perfect as any human being can be, he had to have special preparation before he could even go in. There's a whole section of Exodus from chapters 28, 29, there's some other places too, where it talks about everything that has to be done. Special clothes he had to have on, special washing that he had to do. And when he would go into the temple, you can read about it in chapter 28, but he had to have bells on the bottom of the robe. He had bells, and it's not specifically mentioned here. It may be something they added later. But they would also tie a rope around him, around his ankle, because if he went in the Holy of Holies and he hadn't done everything right, he'd die in there, and nobody could go get him, because anybody else would go in there would die too. So they had a rope on him so they could pull him out. Right. Those bells stopped ringing. God had those put on there. He could only go in there once a year. Leviticus 16 tells all the things that were necessary for him to do that. He had to take the blood of the sacrifice. He had to sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And in fact, he couldn't even look at the mercy seat. He had to have, or probably the presence of the Spirit that was above it. But he had to bring incense and burn that incense so that it would fill up the room with smoke where he couldn't even look at it. Everything had to be done just right. In fact, you can also read in Leviticus chapter 10 how when Aaron's son decided they would do it their way, God wasn't too happy with them. And fire came out, consumed them, burned them all up. Serious stuff. But it's all to illustrate, all for us to see how holy God is.
Amen.
The sacrifice itself had to be perfect. You can read all through Leviticus and all the different sacrifices. Couldn't have any blemish in it. And this becomes very important. This is why the priest had to be the way he was. You see, the priest is a type. The priest is showing us what Jesus is going to do. Jesus is going to be the unblemished lamb. Therefore, the priest had to be unblemished. And you could see that was Jesus' role when you read the book of Hebrews. But he was coming. He came to be our perfect sacrifice. He was the only perfect sacrifice and the only perfect priest. All right.
Amen.
Now we're going to turn the page. I'm going to show you something that just jumped off the page to me after reading, after seeing all that scary stuff. I want you to see what happens in Matthew chapter 21. I'm just going to read one verse, but then I'll do some explaining behind it. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed. He had just thrown the money changers out of this area, out of this temple court area. This was the court of the Gentiles in Herod's temple, and it was the place that you would first come in, and he's cleaned it up now, and this is where now the blind and the lame are coming in to be healed by Jesus. This was supposed to be a place for all the nations. He said, this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all the nations. And so he lets everybody in. Now, I think it's important. I found something else when I was reading this and doing some study for it. Why did Matthew specifically say the blind and the lame were coming into the temple? Well, it goes back. Guess what? Christians weren't the first people to misinterpret Scripture. If you go back, and I didn't put it up on the screen, but if you go back into 2 Samuel, you find the story of David coming into the city of Jerusalem, or taking over the city of Jerusalem from the Jebusites. And they were pretty proud of themselves. They thought that there was no way anybody could take their city. And so it says that the king and his men went up against the Jebusites. I'm not going to try to read this. I'm just going to tell you. They came and the Jebusites made fun of them. They said, guess what? You're not coming in here. Even our blind and our lame, even our disabled people can keep you out. There's no way you're coming in here. And he says, and then he makes this statement that's kind of terrible. He says, well, we're going to come up through the water shaft, and the blind and the lame who are hated by David's soul won't keep us out. And then it says, thus it is said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. And people took that. Now, David wasn't really saying the blind and the lame were not welcome. What he was really doing was coming back at you with the Jebusites. But people took that and took it literally, and the blind and the lame were excluded from the temple courtyard. So that's the significance. That's why Matthew, if you read all through Matthew, he's always pointing out how Jesus will fulfill Scripture. So here he's making the point that, hey, Jesus is correcting this wrong. The other thing that's so wonderful about the story is you've got to know who Jesus is. We've been talking already about how Jesus was fully God. He said in John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one. He is perfection. And he came. Yahweh, the holy God that you couldn't even look at, has now come. He's not in the Holy of Holies anymore. He's with the people. He's in the outer courts. He's bringing them in. And he's healing them.
Amen.
He said he came out of heaven in John 6:38. He's come out of the Holy of Holies. And if you'll remember the story of his crucifixion, once that was done, that veil that separated God from man in the Holy of Holies got ripped in two. Because he made the way for us. And because of his Holy Spirit living in us, we have access. He is the one who makes us perfect. He healed the physical defect that would have kept even someone who would ordinarily rightfully be the priest out of sacrifice in the temple. He healed the perfection. He healed that imperfection right there in the temple. And in the same way, he heals our spiritual imperfections, which is a much bigger problem. That's the application. See, we're all defective. Every single one of us. Some of us got stuff you can see. Some of us, maybe not so much. But we all have defects.
Right.
And no more so because some of us also happen to have disabilities. Because we all have one fatal defect, and that's the presence of sin in our lives.
That's right.
And we can't fix it. You know, there may come a day when science can fix anything that's wrong with us in this room. If God lets us stay that long, it may come about that our physical defects get healed, but only he can heal the spiritual problem.
Amen.
We cannot come to him just as those people outside of the temple could not come in. But he came to them, and in the same way, he came to us. And so in that one little verse, you've got the whole gospel. Isn't that awesome? He came to us. What was our part? Not very much. But we did have to come. We did have to come. We did have to ask. And something else. You know, those people that were lame, they didn't have wheelchairs back then. And they didn't have mobility's raining back then. Some of them might have made it there on their own, but you know what? I bet a lot of them had help. In fact, some translations say that they were brought. So, when we have been brought in, what's our job? Our job is to bring other people in. Our job is to go out there and be the helper. Be the one that brings in those who need healing. And He is willing. So I hope that you've been encouraged. It'll be a short one today, I guess. But I hope you've been encouraged to see how Jesus went out of His way specifically for those of us who are facing additional challenges to say, you are accepted. Amen. And to illustrate for everyone else how they can be accepted too. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much that you made that. I thank you so much that you showed me that. I have seen over the years people writing, people who are hardened and angry and bitter, just like I have been. And they read that verse and that section and they become anti-Christianity because of that. But Lord, you didn't mean for it to be that way. You meant to come and make it all right. And you did come and make it all right. And I just thank you. And I pray that anyone who's been holding on to any kind of anger or bitterness because of the situation they're in will today take the opportunity to be healed from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Good. Really good. Amen.